Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here today. Winter can't stay with us too much longer. So we're in Matthew 7. We're finishing up our series kind of on the Sermon on the Mount this morning. And so we want to begin in verse 13 and read through the end of the chapter. And the title of the message is It's All About Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The scripture says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. Today is the final sermon in the most important sermon, about the most important sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. For 5 weeks we've looked at how Jesus taught us about how our character, we can make a difference in our character and our influence. We can have the greater righteousness that his followers are to possess. Jesus taught us how to view money and possessions, how we shouldn't worry but seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. Jesus talked to us about how we should view others. There are many who look at the Sermon on the Mount and they say it's only about ethical concerns. It's only about ethical concerns. But that's not true, especially as we look at the Sermon on the Mount's conclusion. Jesus is not simply laying down a system of ethics. He is laying the foundation that in order to live by the Sermon on the Mount the way that his disciples should live, we have to know the one who preached and taught it. The only way you can live the way the Sermon on the Mount wants you to live is if you know the one who preached and taught it. You have to be a believer. You have to be born again, the scripture says. If not, you will be powerless to try to live out the ethical demands of the sermon. When you believe in Jesus, when you live in his forgiveness and follow him as Lord, you can begin to live the way the sermon teaches us to live. But even then, all of us know that none of us do that perfectly. The ultimate meaning of the Sermon on the Mount is not asking, what did Jesus teach? The ultimate meaning of the Sermon on the Mount is, what will we do with the one who taught it, the one who preached it? The question is one that Jesus asked his disciples. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say about me? It's all about Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount is ultimately about what you will do with Jesus. He's the center, he's its theme, he's its focus. And you must decide who Jesus is and what you will do with Jesus. The conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount teaches us the timeless truth that our eternal destinies rest on what we believe about and do with Jesus Christ. Our eternal destinies rest on what we believe about and do with Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now look at what Jesus is teaching about himself in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. First of all, Jesus is teaching that he is the narrow gate through whom we must enter. Jesus is the narrow gate through whom you, through whom we must enter. He began his conclusion with the Sermon on the Mount by saying, enter by the gate, by the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. There are two gates, and only two gates, two choices and two alone. One is wide and leads to destruction. The other is narrow and it leads to life, and it's hard and it leads to life. The two gates, they lead to two different paths. The wide gate is broad and easy, but the end of that gate, the destination of that gate is destruction. The other one, which is narrow, it's not as obvious, and fewer find it because it's not as obvious, leads to life. The first gate's wide, and you can take anything you want to with you through that gate. You can take your pride, you can take your sin, you can take your personal views about right or wrong, you can take the belief that any path is as good as another path, and every path leads to life, but the end of that path leads to destruction. Destruction. And that's a very difficult word. That's a very impactful word. Destruction. You know, God is the God who is the creator of all the good things of the universe. And the path that leads to destruction is the path that leads away from everything that is good, from everything that is God. All the good things our wonderful creator made will not be on the in the place of destruction. The narrow gate is the one where you must enter, and you can't take a lot of stuff. You can't take your sin and your pride and your personal agendas. You enter in humility through this narrow gate. And that gate leads to life. The narrow gate, I think, is the narrow gate's Jesus himself. Jesus himself. He says in John 7, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. We must enter through the narrow gate of Jesus. I know that's not popular. I know that's anti-cultural, but that is what the scripture teaches. There is one way to life, and that is through the narrow gate of Jesus himself. Now, Jesus warns us about false prophets here who lead away from the narrow gate, from the narrow way. These prophets, these false prophets, they come to you in sheep's clothing. They're disguised. But they're not helpful. Actually, they're ravenous wolves. They're there instead of to help people trust Jesus, they lead to the people to destruction away from trusting and following Jesus. They look harmless, they sound harmless, but they are not harmless. Because they lead away from the path of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. They come disguised. And you have to look at what their lives and their ministries produce. You have to look at their fruits. It might not be obvious at first. But by observing them and seeing what their lives are producing, you can recognize them as false teachers and false prophets. Jesus said true teachers and true prophets produce good fruit. What is if Jesus is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you, and you teach from him and from his word, it's going to produce good fruit. But false teachers and false prophets produce bad fruit. A teacher without the Spirit of God living in them will produce evil and destructive and deadly things. Now, how are we to judge the difference between a teacher or preacher who is truly from God and the one who's not from God? How are we to judge that? What fruit are we to look for that is good or bad? Well, the fruit comes from understanding the objective truth of the Word of God. You see, we need to be people who know the book, who know the Bible, and who know it well. Because we all know false prophets take some things out of the Bible and twist them. They twist Scripture and they make the Bible say things that it doesn't say. So you and I need to be students of the Word of God so that we will know the objective truth, so that when someone teaches something that is false, that is leading away from Jesus, we will understand that they are teaching something false. I think there's just certain things that we need to ask ourselves about what anybody teaches. And the first thing is this: what do they say about Jesus? What do they say about Jesus? The Apostle John wrote in 1 John that the false teachers were denying that Jesus came in the flesh. They were denying the very incarnation of the Son of God, that God the Son became a man to save us from our sins. They deny that. And so we need to ask ourselves, do these teachers teach that Jesus was a living historical figure that died on the cross and rose physically and literally from the grave? Do they teach that, or do they teach those are just kind of mythical things? Do they teach the historicity and the truth of Jesus dying and rising again? Is the Jesus they preach the Jesus of Scripture? Of Scripture, who calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him? Do they lead people away from pure devotion to Christ? Do they preach another Jesus? You see, sometimes people use the word Jesus, but the Jesus they're talking about is not the Jesus that Scripture reveals. Do they teach the Jesus of the Bible, or do they teach another Jesus? Do they preach the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? What do they teach about Jesus? And then what do they teach about the nature of God? Do they teach that God is the triune God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons that is unchangeable. He never had a beginning and never had an end. He never has a beginning and never has an end. There's a certain prominent group in our world today. They teach that God was once like we are. That Almighty God did have a beginning, and there are multiple gods in the universe. That is not scriptural. That is not biblical. The God of the Bible is eternally God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is unchangeable. He never had a beginning, and He never will have an end. Do they teach the triune God? Thirdly, do they teach that human beings all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Do they teach the wages of sin is death? That what we deserve for our sin is death, is separation from God. That God is a holy God, and God will not be in the presence of sin, and that all sin must justly be atoned for. See, you and I will not take one sin into the presence of God. Either we believe that Jesus paid it all, which He did, or if we can't get into God's presence apart from what Jesus has done, we'll be cast out of the goodness, away from the goodness of God and eternally exposed to God's wrath. Do false prophets, do these teachers that we listen to, do they call people to repentance, turning from sin, leaving sin, or do they just leave you unrepentant and unchanged? You might feel better about yourself, but do they leave you in your sin? Do they call you to repent of sin and to believe in Jesus? You see, the Scripture says Jesus came to save us from our sin. Not in our sin, but from our sin. Now, we all know that we're not completely delivered from sin, but we are seeking to live the way that God wants us to live. And a true teacher will teach that God calls us away from sin, to turn from sin continually, and not leave us in sin. Do they warn people of the dangers of unrepentance? In the Old Testament, false prophets never warned of God's coming judgment against Israel or Judah. They always told the people everything is fine. You know, the false prophets in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah was saying Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. Jeremiah was saying the Babylonians are going to come. And the false prophets said, no, you're not right. That's not true. We're going to be fine. Everything's going to be rosy and God's going to bless us. And they never... The false prophets always told people exactly what they wanted to hear. They never warned them that they needed to change their lives and hearts to escape the righteous judgment of God. False prophets tell people what they want to hear. They speak out of their own imaginations without a prophetic gift. They borrow messages and assume the prophecy, the speech of prophecy. They sound like it. They seek the prophet's role in order to gain status or material gifts which come to people from the prophets. But they never warn of the dangers of unrepentance like God's wrath and judgment and hell. They never warn of those things. Do their lives and ministries produce the fruit of the Spirit? What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are they people who are characterized by the fruit of the Spirit? Also, do their ministries produce disciples of Jesus? And do their ministries produce the character and true conduct of Christ? Do their lives exhibit the character and true conduct of Christ? Do the people that listen to them, are their lives becoming more like Jesus in their character and conduct? Or do they simply get rich off their ministries? Are they living with secret or even today open lives of immorality? You know, it's amazing how many people have, we know about them. They've been caught in immorality. And people still listen to them and people still send them money. That doesn't make any sense to me. Not a bit. You see, the man of God, the person of God, will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Their ministries will produce people who seek to follow Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get off and you can't be pride. And if God's children are proud, if Bob Ray is proud, God will humble me. I believe that. I need to humble myself so God doesn't have to humble me. But just the continual exhibition of pride and arrogance and the character that does not call people to holy living, that's a sign that they might be a false teacher. Finally, do they base their teaching simply on the perfect Word of God? Do they claim the Word of God is authoritative? Do they tell you to look into the Word and not just believe everything they say? Do they tell you, do they point you continually to the Word of God? Do they ever say there's parts of it you can't trust? Or you should only use one translation of the Bible or things like that? Or do they boast of special revelations? They claim to have special religious experiences, and they claim some kind of special authority in their teaching and preaching. You see, Paul, even in his day, had to deal with people who claimed to have all these spiritual experiences when Paul said, that's not what it's all about. That's not what it's all about. Ultimately, false prophets and teachers lead us away from Jesus. They lead us away from God's Word. They're not just people who might be wrong in some emphasis of their ministry or a few areas where they might not be correctly interpreting the Bible. Now, you and I ought to know the Bible well enough that if somebody does teach things that they're just wrong, a little off, we understand that. But we don't want to label someone a false teacher if they're simply wrong about a few things. You might not believe this, but I've actually been wrong about a few things that I've preached over the 30 years I've been in ministry. I know that's hard for you guys, but anyway. Nobody's 100% correct. As long as we're in this life, the Bible says we see through glass darkly. There are things that I emphasize today after 30 years in the pastoral ministry that I didn't emphasize when I was 25 and starting out. I hope I wasn't too off. I don't think I was. But I'm telling you, we all grow. So just because someone is a little bit off, don't label them a false teacher or a false prophet. In fact, David was telling me, reminded me about Apollos. You remember in the Bible, in the book of Acts, there's Apollos. And Apollos was teaching, preaching Jesus. But he wasn't preaching it accurately. And so Priscilla and Aquila took him to the side and they instructed him on how to better preach and teach the Word of God. I am glad for men and women who said to me, I think you were a little off today. And they corrected me and helped me to be a better pastor, a better teacher, and a preacher of the Word of God. And so we all see through a glass darkly. But false teachers and prophets, we need to be able to see who those people are, because there's a lot of them all around us. You know, if people watch you know, quote-unquote Christian TV, what would they say the gospel is? What would they say it is? Is it getting wealthy? Is it having your best life now? What would they say it is? I'm not sure that you can even get a clear picture through many of these people what the gospel is. And so you and I, in our day, we need to have discernment. We need to be able to discern who is teaching truly and who is not teaching truly. They teach the Word of God, cannot be trusted. They teach a different Jesus from the Scripture. They never teach of sin and the need to turn from sin. They teach that you should concentrate on this life and it's all going to be good in this life, instead of telling you it might be hard this life. You might be persecuted. In fact, Jesus said we'll be persecuted. These things I've said to you, Jesus said, let me see, I'm mixing up my scriptures. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have persecution. It's not going to be every good thing is going to happen in this life. You're going to have tribulation from time to time. But he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You see, don't let anyone lead you away from Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation is found in no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the narrow gate, and we must enter through Jesus. We must remember it's all about Jesus and measure everything through Jesus and through the Word. Secondly, it's all about Jesus in this. Jesus is the Lord whom you must know, who must know you and whom you must know. Jesus is the Lord who must know you and whom you must know. Now Jesus said, not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, like it's some kind of magic words. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, it's a public profession, like a public declaration of guilt or innocence. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now Jesus said it's not enough simply to call him Lord. Jesus said it's not even enough to preach Jesus, to cast out demons and do miracles in his name. It's not enough, Jesus, it's not enough for us, for anybody, to simply call Jesus Lord. He must truly be our Lord. He is the one we must truly put our faith and trust him. To enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to do the will of the Father, Jesus said. If you don't do the will of your Father, whoever enters the kingdom of heaven is the one who does the will of the Father. Well, what is the will of the Father? Well, it's simple. He says it in John 6. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. You believe in Jesus. First of all, that's the work of God. You believe, you trust on, you rely on Jesus. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, there are those who profess Jesus but don't know him. They've never trusted in him. There are those who do works in his name but do not know and truly believe in him. They profess and preach Jesus, but they don't really know him and they do not truly live for his glory. Now, Jesus is making some tremendous claims for himself in this passage of Scripture. First of all, he's claiming that you and I are going to stand before him in judgment. Where you and I are going to stand before in judgment. He's going to be the judge. And then he claims that the criteria that we are to be judged by is him, whether he knows us or not. You know, Jesus is making tremendous claims. If I said that, you should take me to the funny farm. Because it wouldn't be true. But Jesus is making the claims, and they are true. You know, if anybody says that it's only about ethical teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, they actually haven't read the Sermon on the Mount. they don't know what they're talking about. Jesus says on that day of judgment, he will publicly profess, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. They did all these things, all these works, simply for themselves. And you know, they did them so often that they maybe even deceived themselves. But they never truly knew Jesus, and they never truly lived for him. You see, it's not enough to profess Jesus or even to do works in his name. It's not enough to see miraculous things happen even through your life. You know, Judas Iscariot saw miraculous things happen through his life. But in the end, Judas never really believed, the scripture says. He never really embraced Jesus. He never really loved him and lived for him. He never stopped living for himself. He never took up his cross and followed Jesus. You see, it's about Jesus. You got to know him. The old hymn written by a 14-year-old kid, I believe, said, Jesus, Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Jesus, Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. You see, it's all about Jesus. You must know the Lord, and you must be sure that he knows you. It's not going through religious motions. It's not even seeing great miracles happen. It's Jesus knowing you and you knowing Jesus. Finally, it's all about Jesus in this. Jesus is the teacher whose word you must build your life upon. Now, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew on that house. It did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, and if you are a follower of Jesus, if you do know him, you got to do what he says. You got to build on your life on what he says. Not only is Jesus the gate you must go through, and not only is he the Lord you must know, but Jesus is the teacher on whose words you build your life upon. Jesus said, the one who hears his words and does them, is like the person who digs down deep and builds his rock, is a life on a rock-like foundation. And Jesus said the person who hears his words but doesn't do them is someone building his life upon sand. You can build carefully, you can build on the rock of Jesus, or you can build haphazardly. You can build haphazardly and just throw up the building, throw up something. It's not enough to hear his words. You got to do what he says. It's not enough to just be in church and expose yourself to the word of God. It's not enough to possess intellectual knowledge of the truth of God, to be an expert in systematic theology. You got to build your lives upon those truths. Build your lives upon the truth. You know, we got to be careful that we're not deceiving ourselves. To hear the word of God but not to try to apply it and to live it is self-delusional. James says, faith by itself, if it doesn't have work, it's dead. You see, when the storms of life come, and yes, I want to tell you, they're going to come. Your life will be ruined, and the ruin will be great if you haven't built your life upon the rock. But if you built your life upon the rock, no matter what storms come, you'll be able to stand because you built your life on Jesus. See, to hear what Jesus says and just to ignore it, that's really more dangerous than not hearing it at all. You can survive the storms of life if you build your life on Jesus and his word. You know, even as believers, don't you remember times in your life when you knew you should have done something and you knew God's word was teaching you to do something and you didn't do it? And kind of disaster. You fell apart. You see how if you'd have done it God's way, it would have worked out. And because you did it your way, it didn't work out. Even as believers, we don't want to be lax in putting into practice what God's Word teaches us. And especially, you don't want to deceive yourself in thinking you're okay just because you hear the Word, but you never do what it says. We got to build our lives on Jesus and His Word. You see, that's what He tells us. He says, you got to do what I say. If you hear my words and build on them and do them, you're building your life on the rock. If you just hear them but don't do them, you're building your life upon sand. Are we building our lives on the rocks of Jesus? When the storm comes, that we will stand. Jesus is the teacher whom we must build our lives upon. See, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the narrow gate through whom we must enter. Jesus is the Lord who must know you and whom you must know. Jesus is the teacher whose word you must build your life upon. Jesus is our Redeemer, our Savior, our Helper, our Healer, our Provider, our Sustainer, our Judge, our God. It's all about Jesus. Our eternal destinies rest on what we believe and do with Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. What have you done with Him today? Have you embraced Him and follow Him as Lord? I know you don't follow Him perfectly, because I don't either. But are you living your life for Him and not yourself? Have you received the forgiveness that you can't get anywhere else except through Jesus? But you go to Jesus and He'll forgive your sins. Have you embraced Him? Have you received Him? Have you entered through the narrow gate of Jesus and begun a life of following Him and trying to do what He says? If you haven't, I don't know what else you want to build your life on. And I'm telling you, every other thing that you build your life on ultimately will come crashing down when the storms of life come, and especially when the last storm of life comes, when we stand before God in judgment. Because the only ones who will be forgiven are those who are in Christ, who have believed in Him. Do you know Him? Have you received Him? You know, God doesn't want your life to come crashing down. God wants you to know Him. Jesus wants to be able to say, I know you. That is my child. And if you've never given your life to Him, I pray that even today you'd give yourself to Him. Heavenly Father, we love You. We seek Your face. We thank You, Jesus, that it's... Lord, it's not about even Christianity. It's not about us comparing our religion to somebody else's religion. Lord, it's about us having a Savior that is supreme, that is the very Son of God, that is the way, the truth, and the life, that is the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved, the name of Jesus. Lord, He is the one we cling to. He is the one we want to follow. He is the one we want to live in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. Oh God, help us to do that. Lord, I pray that no one would be deceived today by entering through any other gate. Lord, no one would be deceived today that goes through religious rituals and even maybe does good things in Your name, but Lord, they never have truly embraced You and given their life to You. I pray that You would just work and save those who need You today. I pray that You would just draw each of us as believers. Help us to beware of false prophets and those who teach the wrong things in our world. Lord, help us to not be deceived by people who look good and sound good and maybe say good things, but they don't say the best thing, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only hope for the world. Jesus is the one who wants us to turn from sin and be saved from our sin. I pray that You would give us discernment in our world today. speak and draw and work and move. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.